knows that that's going to create problems, and yet he does it. And he knows what that's going to happen to him. So I guess what I'm saying is, and then the cross. He goes to the cross, and he doesn't have to, yet he does. And what a perfect life, you know, he led. So anyway, I'm going to close here. I could probably go on and talk for 30 minutes. I won't. I'll honor Joseph's time. But I had a good night's sleep. And it's really good to sit and worship with you all and to reflect on what a perfect life Jesus demonstrated for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Scott, give the introduction for the message. I think that in last month, right, we learned about the truth of our identity, right? What's our identity? Those who has been here last month. What's our true identity? We are children of God, right? So we want to learn to change from the spirit often to the children of God. Scott shared a lot just now, you know, about, I think he shared about his struggle, shared about why life had to pursue so many things. If we know who we are, it helps us. And I hope all of us, we somehow experience that transformation. Because we share about we are children of God. We no more need to be orphaned. I like to always say that we have a good father. You know, he cares for you. And this morning I will continue this breakthrough series in the area of faith. We know we are children of God. That's what the Bible says. But do we believe it? Do we really want to experience it? In this world, singing is believing, right? What do you see? What do you get? But in the kingdom of God, believing is singing. When you believe in God, you start to see what God's promise, his leading and destination. However, we are the citizen of the kingdom of God, live in this world. So there's a tension there, right? Singing is believing, and believing, singing, there's a conflict. There's a tension, there's a difficult, there's a challenge there. And that's my title today, by faith, not by sight. We need to have breakthrough in the area of faith. So first we want to see is faith in God is a key ingredient in Christian walk. So what is faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It seems like there's no definition here. It's describe what a faith is. You say faith is a confident and assurance about something we haven't seen yet. It's assurance. It's a confidence. And then in the book of Hebrew, he give you a lot of illustration. Verse 2, this is what the ancient were commended for. The author say they are example of the ancient hero of faith, and he lists them. One by one. Surprisingly, the first hero of faith is you and me. He said, verse 3, by faith we understand that universe was formed at God's command. How do we know this universe come from? How do you know this universe was created by God? How do you know that? By God's words, right? But did you see it? We can never see how God created this universe, right? It only be one time deal. It cannot be repeat. Amen? Are you with me? So it's by faith, right? We believe that. So we believe this universe came into existence by God's creation. Then he lists on those hero of faith. They were patriarchs of the mankind, Abel, Enoch, Noah, then Abraham. Abraham was a man who illustrated what faith really is. In his life, there are two things really stand out. In his middle age, maybe 70-something, God called Abraham to leave his hometown, city of Ur or Chaldean, in today's southern Iraq, where he has lived all his life. God called him to leave his hometown, to go to a place even not sure where we'll be. Did Abraham obey? Yes, he left. And he went step by step. Finally, he has arrived Palestine. Today's Palestine. That is by faith. It's not by sight, right? For instance, you live in Bay Area all your life until 45. God called you, say, I will call you to bring you to Asia somewhere. I'll give that place to you. Will you go or not? Sometimes when we read the Bible in Genesis, look at Abraham's life. This is amazing how he can believe in God. And that is faith. Second thing, his life is when Abraham is 70-something, God promised him to give him a child, a son, through his wife, Sarah, who already beyond the childbearing age. The Bible says Abraham believed in God, and God credited that as his righteousness. And he waited and waited until age. What was his age? He got that son. 100. So that's his faith, not by sight. Maybe you say, how can we grow our faith? How can we increase our faith in God? Since faith in God is such an important thing for a Christian walk. Let's read a scripture. Let's have a case study here. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 21. Let's learn from this story how we can grow our faith. How about let's read together first? Okay, let's read. And when they were, came in a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. Into the fire. This and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him. And the child was cured. Because your unbelief. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hands to yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, I just wonder what kind of version is this? King James, right? Okay. Kind of different from my MIV. Okay, we want to learn how to grow our faith from this story. So what was the context of the story? What was the big picture of this story? It happened right after the transfiguration event. What was transfiguration event? Anybody know that? 6 days after Jesus told his disciples he will die, he will suffer, Jesus led his inner circle, Peter, John, James, to a high mountain. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like a sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then and there, Moses, Elijah also appeared right in front of them. And they talked to Jesus. It was so glorious, so great. And Peter was so excited about that. Peter said, why don't we build three shelter here, you know, three condominium here, so we all can stay here. And suddenly they hear the voice from the Father say, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So that was the big picture. That was the thing happened right before today's story. It's a mountaintop. It's a glorious experience. Right after that, Jesus led them down to the earth. And they faced this reality. It wasn't a very exciting story. Amen? I just wonder how many of you in this past week, a few weeks, past month, you had a tough time. Raise your hands. You struggle, you need to encourage them. You have a tough time in life. Rest of you okay? Well, it depends how you define that, right? To you, a tough time, to another person, maybe okay. But I just wonder, isn't that life? Sometimes we have a glorious experience with God. Right after that, we have to face the reality. I try to share today is really by faith, not by sight. Dear brother and sister, it's not the circumstance what determines your faith. It's your perspective. Amen? If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
It's your perspective. The perspective is not by sight. Peter, John, James were so excited. Wow, it's so good. And right after that, they came down to see someone have a crisis. So what was this scenario, a crisis? What was that? This man's son has seizures. Seizures. He cannot control himself. Whenever seizures occurred, quite often he falls into the fire or into the water. He could be in danger any time. Here there's no cure, and his father can do nothing. Right? There's a crisis. And then he brought his son to disciples. Can disciples cure him? They cannot. So that's even worse. Isn't this a familiar situation in our life? Does that happen to our life? We have a crisis. We have urgent needs. We pray to God. It seems like the situation remained the same. Then we ask Pastor Joseph to pray. We ask Pastor Robert to pray. We ask our good friend to pray. The situation still remains. Then our faith dissolve, shrink quickly. Then we see how did Jesus respond. Jesus answered, "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon and came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. So what Jesus tried to say? Jesus seemed like endure in that environment, right? The environment is full of unbelief, wrong value system. It's totally opposite to Jesus' spirit, full of faith in God the Father, seeing what he's doing and enjoying his work. So when they brought the boy to Jesus, he rebuked the demon and the boy was healed. After 1 hour, after 10 minutes, it's right away. Hallelujah. When Jesus rebuked, the demon left. The boy was healed. Amen? So what was Jesus' secret? What made Jesus different from his disciple? Disciple was very curious, and afterward, they went to Jesus, asked, why you can cast out demon, we cannot? So what was the Jesus' secret? Jesus replied that because you have so little faith. Jesus spoke to the disciple. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and you will move. Nothing will be impossible. So actually, in essence, the reason disciples cannot drive out the demon because they have so little faith. Actually, in the original text, it means they have no faith. It's not so little faith. They have no faith. In other words, because the disciples have no faith, they cannot minister to that poor boy. The demon won't go. So by now, the picture is very clear. The disciple was in the world of unbelief and perversion. People have no faith in this healing stuff. Moreover, disciples themselves had no faith, so no miracle will happen. Can we identify with disciple in a certain way? Do we live in the world that full of faith in God's healing? What's your world? How about you? Do you believe in God's healing? Do you believe in God's miracle? We need that kind of faith, right? Also, we ourselves don't have much faith in this. So the life go on, same old, same old. So there's no miracle happen. There's no supernatural, not many supernatural things happen in our life. But thank God, Jesus instruct disciple and instruct us today, away depart from the spirit of unbelief. Don't we need to grow our faith? How many of you need it? I need your participation when I share this. This is a battle. I cannot increase your faith. I only can share what I learned. But you focus on the Lord. You listen to the word of God. God will grant you, increase your measurement of faith. And here Jesus shared with them about a secret. Jesus told disciples, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. What did Jesus try to say here? Jesus really says that not by sight. Because mustard seed is very small. Even you have a faith so small like mustard seed, but you really believe in it, you can move a mountain. The problem like a mountain, so big, you can move it. Do you see that? It's very profound here. Mustard seed is the smallest seed. Even you have faith, you say, I don't have much faith, but I have faith the size like mustard seed, but I believe, at least for that size, I believe. Do you believe you are children of God? If you believe that, there are many things in our life, like a mountain, my financial needs, my physical needs, my future, my retirement. Right? Scott shared, every stage, there are many things, many worry, anxiety, they can be removed. Because I'm children of God, and God loves you. God love you and love me. When God see you, he accept you. And he say, you are good. Isn't that wonderful? That's what Pastor Robert encouraged us, right? Every day you face the mirror. Jesus, the Lord of my life. You are good. How many of you can face the mirror and say, you're a handsome guy? You're a beautiful woman. Dear brothers, this is very important, right? When you start a day to speak to yourself, I share with our congregation, you know, why do you need to wait for people to speak to you? Why don't you in the morning start with day in the mirror, you speak positive words to yourself, your soul, the earth, your light of the world, you're God's child. You're indwelled by Christ. You're a branch of true vine. You're Christ's friend. You are chosen, appointed by Christ to go and bear fruits. Amen? You're successful workers. You're a good wife, good daughter. Can we do that? And that is faith. Instead, you say, oh, Monday's coming. I had to work. Sure. Interact a little bit. I think that, Irene, you have a very good questions. You will be in the next session will be a good time. But let us to think about that. But right now is, you know, that's exactly the point, is by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we pray for something it haven't realized, fulfilled. Think about, I'm not directly answer for your to your question, because for healing is a very profound school. There's a lot of reason for that. But think about Abraham. Let's say he was 75. God said, I'll give you a child through your wife. He was waiting for 25 years. Every year, he's waiting. Dear brother and sister, I don't have an answer to all the question here, but I want to encourage you and me. I want to share with you. I don't know why. God has a sense of humor. Start from the beginning of the July, I start to teach about the breakthrough. I myself struggle a lot with a different issue about life. But I think today we need to join together to learn is by faith, not by sight. Because the thing we see, we don't see completely. There's a lot of things in the spiritual realm we don't see, we don't understand. You go to the book of Job, why he suffered so much. Then you go to chapter 1, because a lot of things happen in the heavenly realm, then it manifests in the physical realm. A person, you pray for him, he's not being healed. That's not necessarily mean that person doesn't have faith. Doesn't mean the people pray for them doesn't have anointing. There's a lot of factor we don't know. But here the point is, we need to operate by faith, not by sight. Because if the person being healed says, okay, I believe in God. The person doesn't believe, not here, oh, I don't have faith. That's exactly the point. And the reason I give the describe the picture of today's story, because right before that, Peter, John, James, they have very glorious experience about Jesus. Jesus transfigured. Jesus let them see the future, glorify Christ. Amen? And then right after that, so other disciples cannot cast out demons. It's very discouraging. Maybe in our lives like that, you have mountaintop experience. God answer your prayer. God give you this and that. Right after that, there's something else. Remember what I say today. It's by faith, not by sight. And here Jesus used mustard seed. There are two traits. First of all, mustard seed is very small. Secondly, mustard seed keep on growing. It's a small seed. In Matthew 13, 21 to 22, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seed, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and become a tree. So that birds come and perch in its branches. So even though we have a faith so small like mustard seed, it will grow. Even though it's so small in size, you can move the mountain. So not by sight. So what are the lessons? In the beginning, we say, how can we grow our faith? There are four lessons here. You want to know how to grow faith? Number one, knowing Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. Just now we say we don't look at the circumstance. Where should we look at? We should look at Jesus. Jesus' promise, Jesus' teaching. Because his salvation, the faith starts on the cross, right? We're going to have the bread and cup here. Remind us, you and I are the children of God through Jesus' redemptive works. How can grow our faith? Faith and unbelief both can come by what you're hearing or giving your attention to. You must choose to have faith come in your heart by hearing the word of God. I think that we need to continue to read, to meditate on the word of God. Dear brother and sister, actually, to grow faith, we need to be positive. We need to continue hear the word of God about you, about the circumstance, about everything. Because there are a lot of words in this world from your flesh, from people's just mental spirit, negative spirit, they are all up negative. The negativity reduces your faith. Amen? And thirdly, you must deal with any area of unbelief or increasing your intimate time with God in prayer. I think this is very important. Jesus talked about that another place about the story. Only by fasting, this kind of demon cannot cast out. I think a lot of times there's a spirit of unbelief in us. we need to spend time with the Lord in person. Isn't the Lord the most positive one? He's joyful. He loves you. He looks at you. When you, by reading the word, you spend time with him, you will increase your faith. Also, we need to practice fasting sometime to deal with those parts that depend upon our flesh, worldly input, and sensory input. Maybe sometime we need to fast on watching TV. Fasting on watching TV. A lot of sources come in. And finally, is to germinate our faith with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We already mentioned about that. You need a lot of Word of God. But also we need the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to continue to be filled with the Spirit every day. People ask, how can you do that? The easy way is you start to surrender every area of your life to the Lord. Whenever you surrender to Jesus, the Spirit fills you. You don't have to pursue Spirit. You pursue Jesus. You surrender to Jesus. Like in the area, we're easy to be worried, right? We're easy to think too much. We surrender that. And we use God's scripture. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer, thanksgiving, praise, right? Give to the Lord. And the Lord will fill you. You increase the faith. Okay. Before we have the Holy Communion, I like sometime we meditate on God's words. Okay. Psalm 103. Verse 8 to 14. I think this is NIV version now. All right. How about let's read together, and then we have some quiet time. You pick one verse. Let's read together. The Lord is compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will be harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as sin deserve. So grace is love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. As a father, for he knows how we are formed. Remember that we are dust. I'd like to have 1 minute we can. And Rogelio, you can continue play through, or you can use your phone to look at those scriptures, to meditate on that, and to pick one verse you pray to the Lord, and the Lord speak to you. This is about our Father, our Heavenly Father, before we take the bread and cup. Meditate on those verses, and pick one verse. One or two people to lead us to pray. How about that scripture? You feel the Lord speak to you. To lead us with a short prayer. Lord, thank you that you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. You're not always accuse us, nor will be harbor your anger forever. We thank you. Come to you today, we receive it. We thank you. We love you. Father, we thank you for your divine comfort. Father showed his love to his Son. His Son, Jesus Christ, in this world, died for us. Through his redemption, we become children of God. The first Sunday of each month, we observe the Holy Communion.